You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to the second hour of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And if you're just joining us, missed a pretty good first hour. Jim Donovan, John Clayton from ESPN, Eric Edholm from Yahoo all stopped by to talk about the big story of the day, which is the release of running back Ben Tate by the Browns today, making a strong statement. And joining us now to weigh in on that is our good friend Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I think I should make it pretty clear up front that I'm very satisfied with this rotation of reporters you have going on. If you want to have John Clayton on, I'm cool with that. I understand I can't be on the air every day, so I'm glad to be part of the mix.
We're certainly happy to have you. It's been too long, old friend. But I'll tell you what, Tom, the Browns certainly making a strong statement today. What was your first reaction when you heard the news?
You know, I got to be honest, I really wasn't surprised based on kind of the tea leaves over the last couple of weeks. You know, I thought when Tate didn't get nearly as many carries as many of us thought against Cincinnati, first of all, and then, you know, after his comments last week, and then just two carries on Sunday, and then his attempt to leave the locker room without talking to reporters, and then Mike Pettine's somewhat vague comment about something going on off the field yesterday, and then his praise of both West and Crowell. I really wasn't surprised.
Now, Tom, we always hear so much about when a player leaves a team or is gets injured in the middle of a season or gets released like this. So many players come to the defense of that player or talk about what an integral part of the team he was or what a great leader and so on and so forth. Because you're so in tune to that locker room, give our listeners a sense of, did Ben Tate have a lot of friends in this locker room? Was he welcomed openly when he came here as a free agent? And also, too, if he was or was not, how does that affect the dynamic of the locker room?
Yeah, well, you know better than I do, Matt. It didn't seem like Ben had a lot of friends in that locker room, truthfully. Seemed to be a little bit of a loner. We got along with him okay. He was fairly outspoken. You know, I really didn't have too much of a problem with what he had said last week. I thought it was a little bit selfish. I also think, though, that, you know, in some ways the media kind of traps players into, with a certain line of questioning, particularly in a week where he's going against his former team. Those weren't easy questions for him to answer. Now, that said, he could have taken the high road and just said, hey, look, you know, I want the ball, but I'm a team player. You know, we need to win this week, et cetera. Instead, you know, he turned the spotlight on himself. And so, you know, Matt, I think, he probably had some friends on that team. Maybe, like you said, you know, maybe not as many as we would have thought. You know, there aren't guys coming out now and, you know, raising an objection about, you know, what had happened today. But I also think that's a byproduct of what Nathan said earlier, that this is a very strong statement by this team. They want their players to play like Browns and they want them to act like Browns. And that means you better fall in line. And I think it's a very strong message to send for a team that's in the playoff hunt with six games left.
Yeah, I mean, are you impressed, surprised, you know, that Farmer and Mike Pettine took this strong of a stance now?
No, yeah, I guess I'm somewhat impressed. Like I said before, not really surprised. I think this is what Ray Farmer stands for. You know, he seems to be a little bit more old school. He's all about team. And I think, you know, he and Mike Pettine have both talked about this publicly, that they're philosophies on football are very much aligned. So, you know, I don't think there was probably any, too long of a conversation on this, you know, and again, we don't know exactly what happened behind the scenes. We don't know how much more grumbling Ben Tate may have done, you know, whether it was to Wilbur Montgomery or to others about not getting the ball. And I'll be honest, you know, I really thought the way that both West and Crowell hit the hole over the last couple of weeks is more the identity of what Mike Pettine wants from this football team. He wants guys that, you know, are going to run north-south, that are going to turn their shoulders up in the hole and get positive yardage. And then that's not to say that Ben Tate didn't do that at times. I just think these young backs maybe fit more into the kind of scheme that Kyle Shanahan wants to run and that Mike Pettine favors.
I agree with you, Tom, on that point about those running backs and Coach Mike Pettine and what he prefers. One other quick question before we dive again back into the Browns, and this is just down the road perspective, is do you think that hard line that this team walks of playing like a Brown is attractive or would detract potential free agents from taking a look at Cleveland as a great place to come and play?
I think it's got to be a positive, Matt. You know better than I do. I think guys are looking for situations that they can go to where there's going to be success. And, you know, there's no telling where this season is going to go yet. We're really at a crossroads right now with six games to go as to whether this is going to be a playoff contending team or it's going to go south. But, you know, I think for the future, it bodes well. I think it's a sign that, you know, these guys mean business, and it's a sign that, you know, they intend to stay here for a long time. You know, we've gone through so much overhaul and tumult over, you know, the last few years here that I think it's very refreshing, I think, to people from the outside to see that, hey, these guys really are going to stick by their guns. They're going to back up what they say, and this is a no-nonsense situation here.
As you see it going forward, who would you like to see be the primary ball carrier for the Browns, or would you like to see Crow and West pretty much split things up?
I'd like to see Josh Gordon get the ball as many times as possible.
Me too.
Well, that's the other story, so let's get into that.
He's the primary ball carrier as far as I'm concerned the rest of the way. But I tell you what, I think both of them, and we've talked about this all year long, guys, I think both of them bring a lot to the party. I think, you know, Crowell, obviously, he's got to do a better job of holding on to that thing, or otherwise he's going to find himself on the bench. But, you know, there's times where I think Terrence West still dances around a little bit. He's trying to, you know, he thinks he's back at Towson and trying to hit a home run on every play. But he's learning, and I think that's the other thing we got to remember with these two kids is that they're kids. They're rookie running backs, you know, still trying to learn their way in the NFL. So I'm also interested to see maybe what Glenn Winston can bring, because I tell you what, he'd be the first guy I'd have coming off that bus. That guy is built, like, unbelievably well. And from what I understand, he's done a really nice job in practice, and he's been starting to pick some things up as well. So, you know, we might be right back to another three-back rotation again.
They are big on Glenn Winston. And while we did have maybe addition by subtraction, there is also addition by addition this week with the return of Josh Gordon, which you alluded to earlier. How big do you think that's going to be for this team?
You know, I think it's huge, but I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves with it. And I thought Brian Hoyer was, you know, sent kind of the cautious note yesterday, which I think was very important, which is, you know, you can't put this kid out there as a savior. You know, he hasn't played football in a long time, and as Matt can speak to much better than I can, you know, there's a whole different game speed that he's going to have to adjust to. It's one thing to be running gassers in the field house by yourself to try to get in condition, and then a whole other thing when you're out there trying to get past NFL cornerbacks. So, you know, I think it's a huge boost this week, especially coming off of a tough loss on Sunday. I think it gets them back a little bit of the momentum that they had lost. I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of shape he's in and how quickly they want to integrate him right back into this offense.
That's a great point. And again, Tom, as you said, because I have been a part of those, some of which have happened to myself when I got signed, in season, having to be in shape. But what I found was, not so much for myself, but other players at key positions, but when they return, some coaches like to kind of take it in stride and kind of, you know, get him back in the system little by little. But then other coaches like to kind of put a guy almost very similar to a pitcher, but like on a pitch count. You know,
right.
They'll base the count on the way Josh Gordon practices the next 3 days.
Right.
In your mind, what would that number be? I would say particularly if we're somewhere between 60 and 65 offensive reps, I would love to see Josh Gordon in or around that 30 to 35 rep range in my eyes.
I can see that as a good number. And again, I think it's going to depend on, you know, what they see from him the next couple of days. You know, it's going to be interesting. His first practice will be outdoors tomorrow. I don't know if it's supposed to be, you know, minus 15 or whatever it is now out there. But, you know, he's going to have to kind of be careful about, you know, he's got to watch those hamstrings. He's got to be careful about not trying to do too much in these first couple of days back. But I'm with you, Matt. I'd like to see him out there for at least half of their offensive plays. And, you know, I think the good thing, too, is that they're going to be playing in a dome this week. It'll be a little bit warmer down there, so maybe there's not maybe as much risk having to play in that first game at home. So, yeah, I expect Gordon to be out there. I'd be shocked if he wasn't out there, you know, from the get-go on Sunday. And, boy, it's just refreshing. And I got to tell you guys, just from a personal standpoint, I like Josh. You know, I think, you know, obviously he's had some missteps along the way, but I think he means well. I think he's growing up. He seems to be a good-natured kid. I don't know him nearly as well as many of his teammates, who all, by the way, say he's a wonderful kid to be around off the field. So I am happy for him.
It is great to have him back. He will be a breath of fresh air. He'll be a breath of fresh air for Brian Hoyer. But also, yeah, too, Tom, the other perspective that I like to take on the emergence of Josh Gordon, when we talk about those 30, 35 reps and why I could even potentially see him more, is because that doesn't mean that he's going to be targeted 10, 12, 15
exactly
times in those 30 reps. I think what he brings to the field from a presence standpoint and the capabilities that he has based on what we saw from him and that large 14-game sample size will allow for this Atlanta Falcons defense to be very aware of when he's on the field and the threat that he poses, which will open up both the run game and also the accessories at wide receiver and Hawkins, Gabriel, and Miles Austin as well. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. I think they'll be nervous about him just standing over on that opposite sideline. I mean, he is just a presence, and you're right, Matt. And just, you know, sending him out on a fly pattern is just going to open things up that Brian Hoyer hasn't had the luxury of seeing all year. And I got to give Kyle Shanahan credit too, because with this, you know, young and small receiving core, you know, we've seen guys get open, and you know, that's a credit to that system. And I can just imagine with the infusion of Josh Gordon and that size and that speed, you know, what other possibilities that could bring.
I'd like draw up some plays for Josh Gordon in that concept, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It certainly would be good. Tom, this team, obviously a little bit disappointing against Houston, but still 6-4 when you consider everything and everyone who has been hurt or been gone for a variety of reasons. Pretty good start to this season. How do you see the final six playing out, starting with this week down in Atlanta?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Nathan. I thought yesterday was a real tough blow for the Browns, learning that both Dansby and Sheard, you know, Sheard probably for the season and Dansby for at least a month are going to be out, you know, to a defense that's already taken its shots, to a defense that's already had a lot of trouble stopping the run this year, to a defense that's not going to have Phil Taylor for the rest of the way, that's got guys up front that are a little bit banged up as well. So that was tough. You know, that's why Sunday I thought was so critical, guys, in that, you know, it was one of just three home games remaining. Now they're down to two. They got four on the road, and none of these six is going to be easy. I think, you know, this Atlanta team, while the record doesn't say so, I think we all, you know, potentially saw them as a playoff team at the start of the season. So, you know, I'm a little leery of this game. I think it's another dangerous one. I thought last week's was dangerous as well, and you know, anytime you're out there and you got to deal with guys like Julio Jones on the field, you're going to have your hands filled. So, you know, I think, you know, after 10 weeks, had we known before the season, guys, 6-4 after 10 weeks, I think anybody would have signed up for that. But I think once you get to that point and you see the carrot dangling out in front of you, you want to go get it. So, you know, I would hope that they would at least split these last six and see where it takes you. But I think there have been a lot of positives already, but you just want to keep that. You want to get back that momentum that they lost this past week and try to build over the last six, because let's be honest, we're going to be going into an off season with a lot of questions, including the one at quarterback, which, you know, never seems to go away.
It doesn't. Speaking of that, how would you assess Brian Hoyer through the first 10 games? Do you think the Browns have found their answer, or do you think the jury is still out there?
Gee, I think, you know, I'll be honest with you, Nate, I think the jury is still out. I think we all kind of still see it that way. I mean, there's been times where, you know, you look at Brian and you see all the great things he does in terms of, you know, leadership and good throws that he makes. And then you come off a game where he throws 30 incompletions and, you know, seemed to rush some balls, overthrew some wide open guys, underthrew some guys. In fairness to him, he was under duress the entire game. I tell you what, I can't remember since seeing maybe Lawrence Taylor back in the mid-80s, a defensive player take over a game like J.J. Watt did on Sunday. So he was unbelievable. And to impact a game in all three facets, including going out there and trying to – I mean, what kind of great message does that send to your teammates when you're the star player and you're out there trying to block punts? That spoke a lot to me right there. But I think, you know, Brian's been up and down, and I still think that the jury is out on him. I think the Browns are in a really tough spot with him.
I do too, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Never a dull moment in Berea, Tom. Obviously, today the Browns, the big news, releasing Ben Tate. Appreciate your take on all of that. Good to have you back here on CBD. We will make it a much more regular occurrence, I hope.
Nice talking to you.
Tom Withers from the Associated Press there. All right, time to get your reaction. Again, we're going to also talk to Matt more about the psychology of what's happened today, talk about the return of Josh Gordon, the impact of that, and all that, plus your phone calls, 216-578-0850, and more, as the Browns have released Ben Tate again. Do you agree or disagree with that move? Who'd be your starting tailback on Sunday? And what do you think about the message that has been sent to your Cleveland Browns by Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer today regarding Ben Tate? Let us know right after this on CBD here on ESPN 850 WKNR.